I won. I had a runny nose. It was good. Maybe a little bit of hypothermia, but...
Welcome to the Canadian Cycling Magazine podcast. I'm Matthew Piero, editor. We just heard from a member of the Toronto Hustle, a small development team with big ambitions. I was at the squad's season launch party, which you'll hear more about later. Social media editor Dan Walker, weren't you supposed to be at that event?
I was, and I was on my way there. However, I left my headphones at the other place I was, went back, and then I decided to do groceries instead.
Okay, good reason. Good reason. Yep. So practical.
So practical. I needed veggies in my life.
Okay.
But before we get going.
Yes.
Much like Festivus, this podcast must start with an airing of grievances.
Oh, you're ticked. I forgot about that. Okay.
So yesterday, email goes out. We agree on a group ride. Myself, producer Adam, and Kate, who's a local E1 stalwart in the women's peloton here in Ontario.
Okay.
We get about 40K into the ride. We run into another group of people we know.
Mm-hmm.
Guess who decides to ditch us? That would be producer Adam.
Producer Adam.
Yeah. He doesn't have a microphone to defend himself.
Good.
That's okay.
Such Judas traitors don't deserve mics.
So quick after Easter.
We're pointing out that producer Adam did a 50K mountain bike race.
I don't want to hear producer Adam's excuses, and neither do the public. That's why you don't give him a mic.
Yeah, because then he just calls the ambulance.
This needs to be aired.
Yeah, go on.
That's my grievance.
So he ditched you for another group.
Yeah.
Was it a faster or slower group?
Slower. And arguably less fun.
Well, yeah. Then he gets the group he deserves.
We did all ride together for another 50K or 30K.
Don't want to hear it. Anyways, I had a great time watching Amstel as well yesterday. The women's race was great. Action Jackson, ninth place. Great performance by the Canadian.
Awesome.
And then if you have not watched the ending of the men's race, stop listening. I'll give you permission to pause this. Go find a highlight on the internet. Watch the last 10K. You will be a fan of Matthew Vanderpool's for life.
You spoiled
it.
Oh, yeah. You kind of just spoiled the race.
This goes out on Thursday, a week after the race.
Okay. We will bring back. We're gonna have. Let me gather myself.
Sir, can we continue with the podcast, please?
We're gonna have full send, no send.
Yep.
And we're also going to talk to Coach Peter Glassford. He's gonna be discussing early season burnout. It's actually a thing to watch out for. Maybe not me, because I'm not on pace for that at
the
moment.
You're really excelling at the taper.
It's either a taper or a build. I'm not sure
slow build.
What's going on. Mm-hmm. But yeah. But seriously, it is a thing to watch out for. I have burnt out mid-season, and I could see the signs.
No, I think with the advent of Zwift and all the good indoor options, it's definitely way too easy to get really stoked in January and February, do a ton of indoor riding, and then by the time the sun's out and the time for the guns to get out, you're too tired. You're over it.
It's true, but before we talk about burning out, let's hustle. The Toronto Hustle is a little team in the big smoke. It also has some pretty big ambitions. Sure, like any team, its members want to win races, but its goals go beyond watts and finish lines. Activism, the kind that focuses on making a city a safer place to ride on a bike, is something team members are engaged in. In 2018, they ran Learn to Ride events, free tune-ups, and even helped newcomers to Canada get oriented in their new home. They have Toronto in their name, and they're involved in their community, even the riders who actually live outside Ontario's capital. The small indie brewery was bustling. On the Wednesday before Easter, supporters, sponsors, and members of the Toronto Hustle gathered to kick off the 2019 season, even though some riders had already been racing in the U.S.
Is this on the record? I'm just joking. It's just a joke.
Do you ask that a lot because you're a municipal politician?
Yeah.
Do you have to say stuff like, this is not for attribution?
Yeah, things like that, yeah.
Brad Bradford is the principal and founder of the Toronto Hustle. Last fall, he was elected to city council. At the Joe Martin stage race, a UCI America Tour race in early April, he was probably the only elected official in the event. Maybe.
I wouldn't be able to answer that with 100% certainty, but, you know, definitely I was probably the only one flying in from a council meeting and then flying home early to get back to a community meeting. So, yeah, I mean, it's been interesting trying to balance training and work like we all do. But definitely the public office and that role has particular demands on your evenings and your weekends, which makes it all, you know, pretty important to stay organized and stay on top of the schedule.
Since the team was started in 2017, it has been about more than just road racing. It's also been involved with active transportation and charities. But since its inception, I've heard echoes of what it's doing in other road outfits. I'm thinking of EF Education First and even Floyd's Pro Cycling. I'd say those groups aren't as active in social causes as Toronto Hustle, but all those teams have been trying to engage with people beyond strict road races. It's just Toronto Hustle was doing it a bit earlier. I asked Bradford if other teams were stealing ideas from the Toronto Hustle.
I always say I don't really care where good ideas come from. I just want to see them move forward. So, you know, I think that people recognize there's a lot of folks in this sport with energy and enthusiasm and passion. And when you can pour that passion into something else and make a positive difference, then there's a lot of people who are going to step up and try and do that.
I think that's a diplomatic answer. But to be fair, it's probably what my cheeky question deserved. Sarah Holmes is another rider who's been managing the team since the beginning. This year, she's helping to launch a new facet of the Toronto Hustle project.
We always knew that we wanted to build a women's arm to Toronto Hustle. It was just a matter of when and what that would eventually look like. And through conversations with women in the cycling community and our partners, we are hearing loud and clear that women really were looking for a community to come together and go for training rides and share advice with each other, share tips, and suffer together, essentially. There are so many groups and opportunities for men to do that, and you hear about it all the time. We really want to do something for women. I am very passionate about the women's cycling community. I've put a lot of time and energy into the men's side, and I want to bring that passion to the women's side as well. Women are so badass as well, and they deserve a community themselves. And just here tonight, seeing so many come out and share their stories and why they're excited to ride with us really gets me excited.
While the women's program isn't about racing per se, some of its members do like to compete. Holly Clark, a ride leader and ambassador, recently won a race. Telling people about that victory can induce some giggles.
I just did this past Sunday the runny nose.
And you won the runny nose?
Well, I guess it's the steaming nostril, but I did the running nose category. And I won the race, which is really exciting.
How do you feel telling people that you won the runny nose?
Oh, it's very awkward to say. It's a little bit embarrassing, but I have to celebrate the fact that it was really hard. The conditions were really difficult, but I finished. So that's awesome.
More than finished. You won.
I won. I had a runny nose. It was good. Maybe a little bit of hypothermia, but...
This is going to sound obvious, but the Toronto Hustle is very Toronto. You can even see it in icons on the team kit, which include Toronto City Hall and a raccoon, or Trash Panda, the city's unofficial mascot. But the team does look beyond the 416 and 647 area codes. New member Sam Titterdower is from New Zealand. Returning riders Kurt Penno and Ethan Palmarek are from Sanford, Manitoba and Lacombe, Alberta. Palmarek, the team's general classification rider, jokes they keep him in the big smoke against his will.
Well, I usually just come from the spring to summer, and then they finally let me go home after BC Super Week sort of time. I like to say like they're holding me hostage or anything, but no, it's good out here. I like coming out here. It's a nice change from Alberta, that's for sure.
Although Palmarek has only lived in Toronto for a short time and only for parts of the year, He's really connected with the team's goal of improving active transportation in the city.
Coming from a small town, I'm not so used to like riding in the city and everything. And so I will say it's been a bit of a shock for me at times, like dealing with traffic and stuff. And I think the activism side of the team is so important for making sure that we get bike lanes built and we have actually dedicated cycling infrastructure and getting more people out on bikes, getting around by bike, helps push that move towards building more cycling infrastructure and making it easier to get around the city without a car, and shifting that focus from building the city around cars to building the city around walking and public transport and bicycles.
As a young rider, Palmaric will have the support of the team's veterans at races to help him improve and, we hope, get results. Who knows? Maybe Palmaric or one of the other young riders will move up to a bigger team next year. The Toronto Hustle has graduated two riders to the UCI Continental ranks. Team principal Bradford is hoping to continue that trend in the year ahead.
Gaps, and we're going to have a lot of fun this year. So, I know the game's on. I've talked forever. Thank you for coming out tonight. This is a community. This is what we love. This is why we do it. Looking forward to a fantastic 2019, and we'll see you on the road.
We're just gonna go full gas from the beginning and the full gas.
Het cliché wil dan een Mexicaan, een oetrocht en een snor en zich verplutst op een ezel of een snorfiets. Dat een uur er langer duurt, dat een tijd er trager glijdt dan in Borger houdt.
What are we listening to, Dan?
That is Full Gas, the song about Victor Campenaerts, our record attempt.
Well, it's a catchy little ditty, bit of rock and blues there, and the singer, let's see if I can pronounce
his name.
Yeah,
take a crack at that.
Geert Oetekit, he rolls his R's like the rolling hills of the Flemish Ardennes. It's magic right there.
Wow.
Yeah. Wish I could roll my R's like that.
All right. Let's full send it. All right. Full send, no send. Food Gas is better than the Astana Protein Wrap.
I don't know. For me, yes, I will say it's better. Maybe because I don't understand the words. Like, I understand the words in the Astana rap, and they're kind of cheesy. I think it's kind of like, Full Gas to me is like a good opera, where I don't really understand what they're saying, but it sounds
great. But it was an experience, and you feel like you went through something.
It's an auditory experience. So, sure, full send, it's
full
better.
Full send? I'm going no send.
Why not?
You know what? Astana, they have the cheese factor that you have to embrace.
Sure.
This is like a Eurovision pop contest song.
Both of them are.
Yeah, this is like, I don't know, the team from Kazakhstan, the song from Kazakhstan finally winning on Eurovision. It's got bad English translation, some of the best villains in all of cycling.
All right.
Plus Canadian content.
Hugo Uhl appears for like a hundredth of a second in the video.
There have been less Canadian songs on the radio that count as Canadian.
Less CanCon that have been,
exactly.
been deemed CanCon.
There's Argonne Bikes and Hugo Uhl.
Okay. Yeah. So you're going to wave the flag at this one. All right.
Wave the flag. Plus, there's a catchiness and maybe an endearing cheesiness to
All right.
a stand-up protein rap.
Okay. Moving
next
up.
On. All right. Our man, Matthew Vanderpool.
Our man. Oh, now he's our man.
The boy wonder.
You're so in love with him. You have a rider crush on him.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. MVDP is the new Sagan, a.k.a. Must See TV, a.k.a. Stop What You're Doing on a Sunday. Stop Spreading Your Toast when he's going for the line.
Well, you got to stop spreading your toast a minute out from the finish line because, not a minute out, but, you know, he's way back. He's not a factor. Even the announcers figure he's not a factor. And then we're talking about Amstel Gold, where he launched this attack, and it seemed, you know, oh yeah, that's nice.
Do you know who deserves a lot of the blame? The cameraman. Where were they for the last 5K? They just gave up on Vanderpool. You never give up on Matthew.
You heard it here first. Yeah. Dan's advice. So wait, what are we full sending, no sending?
Then he's the new Sagan. He's the new must-see TV.
He is must-see TV. Oh, and I have to give credit to producer Adam for this. He may have made cyclocross boring, but he's made road pretty darn exciting.
Oh, for sure. I will watch any race that he's in. I never watch Brabrench Peel, whatever that race is called during the week. Exactly.
That's my best attempt. Yeah.
But Vanderpool's on. I'm checking what's going on. I'm tuning in for the last 20K.
I mean, based on current performance, full send on that he is the must-see TV.
No, I got to agree. That's a full send.
That Amstel Gold Race, if you haven't seen it, just watch the last 10 clicks. It is pretty bonkers.
Yeah, you'll be a fan for life after that. And maybe best part or worst part, he's only 24.
The poor guy. Poor
so
guy.
Much pressure. Oh, yeah. And then he's just going to go take on the Cross Country World Cup and then take on Cross after this. So
I gotta think he can't do a Cross Country. Like, he's not going to beat Shooter.
Okay, but he's still going to be in the top five. He's still going to be qualifying for the Olympics this year. You know, like, that's pretty good, I hear.
Pretty good. Okay, next.
Okay, next. Also from Amstel. You might have not recognized the team in Easter Bunny vomit color this week.
Harsh, dude.
Harsh. But that was Bulls Domans in all pink everything.
So are you saying you
full
don't
send,
like...
Full send, no send, worst kid of the year.
My five-year-old daughter would say full send on it. She's definitely a fan. So,
The Piaro household is a fan?
I mean, it's pretty good. Is it any worse than EF? I hear it's dangerous to wear pink in the one-day classics because you might go missing by the side of the road like Taylor Finney.
Oh, shots fired.
Roubaix. So maybe Bulls Domain might want to rethink that.
No, see, EF has the cool melted popsicle fade, like very retro tie-dye. They're going for something. This is just like bleh, all over in pink.
Wow, fashion designer Dan and his color wheel have spoken.
What is that color wheel? Pepto?
Wow. Did you time that? What is that? Pepto?
That's a no send, exactly.
Don't drop that mic. That's a nice mic, but that is a bit of a mic drop line. Well done.
All right.
Early season burnout. It's a cruel thing that can strike right about now, truly making April the cruelest month. I know a rider who went so hard preparing for an early season goal one year that he messed himself up for almost the whole season. I'm not trying to scare you or anything, but if you are a very driven cyclist, you need to be careful. Coach Peter Glassford has advice to keep you from getting overcooked. Hey, Peter, welcome back to the podcast. How's it going?
Good, good. Yeah, excited to be here as always.
Right on. Okay, early season burnout. How do I know if I'm headed toward early season burnout?
I mean, it's a tricky thing, right? I think if you're asking the question, then maybe that's a good sign just to be careful, right? And, you know, certainly if you're seeing numbers decline or plateau, you know, if you're not really motivated and finding yourself sort of maybe missing a few days or going through the motions, you know, it's very common, especially in Canada and some of the, you know, areas that are very hard to get outside or for folks who aren't doing any sort of cross training. It's pretty common in that sort of April, you know, gloomy season when you're sort of expecting in our optimistic minds that we'd get outside, but you know, it's still snowy or icy or hailing or whatever it's doing today.
What can lead someone to burnout in springtime? I usually think of springtime as like optimism and I'm getting outside, but this burnout thing seems like usually associated with like a late season funk. So what's going on in springtime?
I would usually come back to questions like this and sort of look at, you know, how are we doing with our sort of foundational elements or like the characteristics of training? So I really like frequency and consistency are sort of ones I really harp on. And that's important. You know, a lot of times if you're not consistent, you're sort of binging, right? So you're, you know, on Saturday, you just like crush this huge online training race. You know, maybe on, you just crush a Tuesday like night, but you're like missing the other days in between. There's not a lot going on. Then your frequency is not very good and you're sort of binging, right? And that can be very, like, if you're not frequency, or you don't have the frequency, your training quality is just not going to be great, right? We need both elements. We need variety, right? And variety is certainly, you know, they say it's the spice of life, but it's also an important training element. Those easy days, those outdoor days, maybe some skiing, some strength training, some intervals for sure. And pick the ones that you're, you know, make sense right now or address your limiters, but those intervals can't be every day. So certainly the people who tend to be in trouble come April are the ones who have been, again, cramming or inconsistent or, you know, just too intense.
You mentioned that motivation and your desire to get on the bike can be a sign that either you are burnt out or burnout is imminent. But what's the difference between that sort of, yeah, I'm kind of tired this morning, but it'll be good for you if you get out, versus this is actually my body and maybe my psychology telling me to take a break?
Yeah, it's pretty nebulous, right? It's a very tough thing to know when it's too much, but I think we've all had good days and bad days. I think acknowledging that just the weather and riding indoors is going to be challenging, right? So I think the way we armor ourselves ahead of time is again with variety. So, you know, I really like 45 minute just easy spins. That could be, you know, listening to a podcast like this one. It could be, you know, just cruising, right? It doesn't have to be anything special. Even better would be something like getting outside on, you know, a fat bike or a training bike sort of thing that you can just sort of cruise around the city and get in sort of, again, something so that there's that frequency piece is getting addressed. But it sort of gets you out of that pain cave so that you're not staring at the same wall every day. And then in the same respect, sort of mixing things up as far as what you're doing if you are on the trainer, right? So again, the intensity and then the duration, trying to get something a little longer. I don't know if that answered your question or not, but
no, it does. It does.
It's on the front end at least.
Right. What do I do if I am feeling burnt out? If I've got the classic sort of symptoms of like, I can't hit the highs of my power very well and I'm not feeling very motivated. How do I get out of that funk?
To get out of a funk, like, I mean, I think the best thing you can do is just take a break, right? And I think for us in the spring, it's, you know, sometimes tough because the weather is starting to get nice, but, you know, a few days off and a few days easy, you know, sometimes we forget over the course, especially if you're sort of not following a plan or sort of making a couple plans fit, which is sometimes common as well. You know, it's just remembering you're supposed to have a couple off days that are actually off days and not just the busiest days of your week when you don't train. So sometimes it's like taking a Saturday, Sunday off and just not training and, you know, being with your family, sleeping in, getting a nap, getting on top of food stuff for the week. You know, some of that can just be super rejuvenating and just not by pushing yourself every day. Again, if you're feeling like dragging your feet one day, it's okay. Just get on the bike and try it. But if it's like 2 and 3 days, then you want to just take a few days off and you'll start, you can call it feeling guilty or just your motivation will come back for most people. And then you get back into it, right? Like, it's amazing when people actually take a day off, again, on a Saturday or Sunday for a lot of us is the time to try it. You'll come back and often you feel like just completely, like you'll throw out that interval session on Tuesday and you'll be very motivated to stare at the wall and suffer. So the days off are really the big thing, right? And it often doesn't take much. If you're really deep into the hole, you've pushed yourself and you're very motivated as you push yourself into the hole. It can take longer and that's fine. It might just take a week and then the weather hopefully will be better and you can get outside.
It's interesting how this reminds me of like other conversations we've had about like riding easy is often the harder thing to do. And in this case, taking time off often seems way more difficult than it should be. You know, how hard is it to put up your feet? But it can be, like you said, if it's motivation related.
Yeah, it's a tough concept, right? Because like on the same side, like you have to work really hard. And that's the trick is, especially, you know, if you're more on the beginner, like newer cyclist side of things, it's not as relevant. Certainly you can get burnt out, but really it's just getting on your bike frequently and the rest doesn't matter as much. But as you start considering yourself a more intermediate and certainly an advanced rider, right? Like you have to recover that motivation and that energy, and the psychology part of it is huge. I use myself as an example because I'm not invading anyone's privacy, but in the last few years, just as stuff's gotten more busy for us and we travel a fair bit, like I found rather than pushing myself, I'll often have two intensity days into the week, but I just, if I can get one good one in, that's it. But like, it'll take me a few days to get feeling like I can push that hard again. And if I rush it, it just won't be hard enough, right? Like it won't get the stimulus I need. So yeah, the psychology is almost as important, if not more important, in that recovery piece, in that burnout piece, right?
I appreciate this, Peter. And, you know, I hope listeners will have a very active spring and they will take your advice and get riding and stay motivated. Thanks, Peter.
Awesome. Thanks, Matt.
Peter Glassford is a professional coach and head of Smart Athlete Coaching Services. Send in your Ask a Coach questions for Peter to podcast@cyclingmagazine.ca. And that's the episode. It's put together by me, Matthew Piaro, and Dan Walker, with help from Philippe Tremblay and Terry McCall. It's produced by Adam Killick. He also composed the music. Thanks to the Ontario Media Development Corporation for its support.
Now, if you want more of what we're doing, check us out at cyclingmagazine.ca. You can also follow all the links to our social media there. If you want to tell somebody else about the podcast, Matthew, who are they going to tell?
Oh, I got an idea. This one's for you, Dan. So if there's that guy on your group ride and he sees like another group that he wants to, you know, would rather ride with, say, hey, num num. After your other ride, why don't you subscribe to the Canadian Cycling Podcast?
And while they're subscribing, they should also rate and comment, but only if it's 5 stars and only if...
It's nice.
Yeah.
You know, like the opposite of ditching your friends on a group ride.
Exactly.
Okay, cool. Also, send us your ideas for full send, no send. You can send them to podcast@cyclingmagazine.ca. Also, you can send in questions for Peter Glassford for the Ask a Coach segment. Same email, podcast@cyclingmagazine.ca. Talk to y'all later.